Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 4, the Word of God says that God's brand of agape love is patient and it is kind. This is extremely important that we understand this, because it is possible for us to see love as something other than what it is. And often we get it confused with affection. And though we are to have an affection, the Word of God says, be kindly affectioned one toward another, that is not quite the same as God's brand of love. This is different. God's brand of love is an impersonal love. It's not the kind of love that is particularly emotional. It doesn't have a great depth of feeling. It is a love that is unyielding. Now, that may seem a little bit disconcerting to some, perhaps even discouraging, that God's love is not an emotional love, especially to those who are oriented toward emotions and the affections in the emotions, and those that confuse love with this type of affection. But really, that is the very thing that I need. I need God to love me with a love that is not emotional. As a matter of fact, we need people to love us with a love that is not emotional. Because if it is an emotional love, then it will be circumstantial. So long as that which pleases the emotions is present, love will be there. Remember, the emotions are not initiators and they are not thinkers. The emotions are purely responsive. So if there is an emotional love, it is a purely responsive love. It's not a love that initiates. It's purely a love that is a response of the emotions and gets a positive feeling toward the person who is initiating that which they are responding to. So the fact that God's love is purely unemotional is also what allows it to be unconditional. In order to have that unconditional character, nothing about me can be allowed to influence God's love. Now, this is extremely important because John told us that God is love in 1 John 4:18. God is love. So if God is conditional, then His heart, His attitude, His faithfulness toward me would all be based on my performance, my worthiness. But God is not emotional in that sense. And so, that worthiness is not a component of the love of God. We need God's love to be purely unemotional, because then God's love will be entirely faithful. Now, the manifestation of God's love is in two things: patience and kindness. And all the other things that 1 Corinthians 13 brings out, for example, it's not envious, it doesn't vaunt itself, it's not puffed up, it's not unseemly in its behavior, it doesn't seek its own, it's not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. Those are all manifestations of these two first characteristics, patience and kindness. Patience is the mentality of God's love, kindness is its expression. Now, keeping in mind the fact that God is love, it tells me that God is profoundly kind. Do you know a God who is kind? Some believers do, some believers don't. Do you know a God who is kind? If you don't know a God who is kind, you don't know Him yet. God is profoundly kind. Now, kindness is in truth one of the three manifestations of the grace of God. And we had preached on this a few weeks ago, on God's three-dimensional grace. If you haven't heard it, I recommend that you listen to it. It's on the internet. Kindness is when God does things for me, provides for me, takes care of me, gives me a call, gives me a life, gives me provisions. When God cares about me, despite me. I don't deserve God's kindness. There's nothing about me that is worthy of it. But I desperately need it. And God gives it generously. God is profoundly kind. If you don't know a kind God, then you don't know God. Because He is profoundly kind. It is inherent to His character. It is part of His essential nature. It is that which defines Him. He is kind. He's not looking for me to perform or to deserve. He's not looking to see how well I'll do. He's not looking to see how faithful I'll be. He's not looking to see how often I show up. He's just going to be kind. You see, if it was dependent on how well I do, or how often I showed up, or how faithful I am, then it really wouldn't be the love of God. Folks, get to know a God who is kind. If you want to know who He is, get to know a God who is kind. You see, sometimes we take a look at our circumstances, our history, our expectations apart from faith, our fears and our weaknesses, and we say to ourselves, God is not kind. Like the world says, how could God allow these things if He is love? But the answer is, how do you know what He has allowed? You see, sometimes what looks like God being unkind is in fact God being profoundly kind, but with a plan. Now, it didn't look kind when Joseph was taken and thrown into a pit. And I would imagine it would be easy to blame God at that time. You gave me this promise and now look at me. But yet it was profoundly kind. Because the end of the thing was better than its beginning. And the end was not when Joseph arrived at Potiphar's house. It would have been very tempting to think that that was the end, because Potiphar was an influential rich man. He was, in fact, the king's executioner, Pharaoh's executioner. He was very influential. He was a powerful man. And to land in his house, in charge of his household, was a pretty good place for a slave to go to. But that was not God's kindness. That was just part of the plan playing out to reveal God's kindness. When Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph and he was thrown into jail, that wouldn't seem kind. But again, it was just a part of the plan. The plan was profoundly kind. You see, all too often we look at our circumstances and we define our lives, or even worse, we define God by those circumstances. If you do that, then you will not understand God nor the circumstance. You see, the circumstance came from God. The circumstance doesn't define it. God defines the circumstance. And God is kind. Now, how was all that the kindness of God? Because Joseph became governor of Egypt and Israel found its salvation. because Joseph landed in a pit. He would have never thought, I'm sure not even have the thought enter remotely into his mind, while he was in that pit crying out for help, that that pit was going to be the salvation of those who threw him there. Who is God kind to? Both. God took care of Joseph. God made him the governor. And yes, he did have a few years where it wasn't so easy. But the majority of his life, Joseph was on the top of the world. But it was also profoundly kind to the brothers, because the brothers didn't know at the time that they were going to be entering into years of famine, that their lives would depend on the fact that they threw him into the pit. It was also kind to the entire nation of Israel, because it was in Egypt that Israel became a nation rather than a clan. How many went in? A handful. A couple handfuls went in. 4 million went out. See, nobody thought that being thrown in the pit was going to result in the development of a nation in a place where actually they were highly protected. And though at the end of captivity in Egypt, they were enslaved and miserable, but that was only for a season. Most of the time while they were in Egypt, they were protected. And even in that captivity, they were protected because there were enemies about. It was not easy in those days to survive in the wilderness. There were nations that were extremely hostile. And they went into captivity, and by being in captivity, into the protection of the most powerful nation on earth at the time. See, God was, in fact, profoundly kind to all of Israel. Now, had that not happened and Israel not gone into Egypt, Moses would not have been there. Moses would have been irrelevant. If Moses was irrelevant, the law would have never been given and the identity of Israel would have never been established. The identity of Israel really did not come so much from Abraham. He was their origin. But their identity to this day came from Moses. And he is the one who unified them as a nation. And in fact, that was profoundly kind, because that act of kindness not only developed them and protected them, but allowed them to stand united to this day. After 2,000 years without land, to be called a nation, they stood as a nation because of what Moses had done, which was the direct result of Joseph being thrown into a pit. You see, in that pit, God was profoundly kind. Now, if Israel had never received its identity, then the Savior would have never been of Israel. And if there was no Savior of Israel, where would I be? I would be lost. I wouldn't have anything going for me. I would not have a life to speak of. You see, Joseph being thrown into the pit directly resulted in the fact that the Savior came. That David was a king. And that the Savior was of his seed. I would have been lost if Joseph did not go into the pit. You see, when Joseph was thrown into the pit, God was profoundly kind to me. Because where would I be without Joseph in the pit? Joseph was crying for help. The brothers meant it for evil. But in truth, God was being profoundly kind. The kindness of God is not measurable by circumstance or time. The kindness of God will only be revealed at the end of history. Even in the millennial reign, we will not yet fully know what the kindness of God did with Joseph in the pit. Because Israel is, there will be a millennial reign with the Savior seated on the throne in Jerusalem because Joseph was in the pit. All of eternity hinged on Joseph in the pit. And while he saw it as a difficult thing and he cried out, who wouldn't? While it might have been tempting to say, God, how could you let this happen to me? The fact of the matter is, it was God's kindness that did that. Never estimate the character of God according to your experiences. Because you don't know what your experiences are, and you don't know what your experiences mean. You don't know the fruit of your experiences. And very possibly you may never know until the white throne. And not even at the Bema seat, because there will be a millennial reign. Only when the heavens and the earth pass away will the sum of your experiences on earth be completed of the fruit that they bring. See, Joseph in the pit meant that Christ would return to Jerusalem. God was extremely kind. This is why it's so important that I not allow my circumstance to dictate my understanding of who God is. But I have to allow my understanding of who God is to define my circumstances. Because otherwise, I really do turn truth on its head. God is profoundly kind. Understand that. God is profoundly kind. There is never going to be a time when God will not be kind. I didn't say that there will not be a time when you don't understand. I didn't say that there will not be a time where you're challenged. I didn't say there will not be a time when it's hard. I said God is kind. There's a difference between difficulty and the kindness of God. Difficulty does not change the kindness of God. Difficulty is defined by it. Because if I don't know the kindness of God, then all I will have is difficult. But if I know the kindness of God, then all I will have is purposeful. And so it's imperative that I understand that God is in fact kind. Now, in Titus 3 and verse 3, it says that, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived." This is us. We were this way. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, after we were like this, after we were nasty, after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. You see, if we were all perfect, if we were all just so, if everything was pleasant and everybody was sweet, would kindness ever have a manifestation, an expression? If everybody deserved, what expression would there be to kindness? Kindness depends for its full expression on the fact that we don't deserve. Because remember, kindness is one of the three manifestations of grace. God is kind, and He looks for someone to be kind to. Never think that you are disqualified for your shortcomings. You're in the game because of them. Never think that you are disqualified because you have failed. You are the ideal candidate. You see, God is looking for someone to be kind to. God is not looking to be harsh. God is not angry. Sometimes you hear, you know, some people talk about an angry God. The angry God has not been around. The angry God is going to come in the tribulation period, and it's going to last 7 years. That's going to be the anger of God. God is not angry toward the believer. God is kind toward the believer. God is kind to the unbeliever. And that's why He allows them to have all the logistical grace that there is. That's why the unbeliever can prosper. Because God is kind to the unbeliever also. That's why the believer can rest and have faith and have confidence. Because God is kind to him. God is kind to him. Sometimes we're not sure that we expect answers to prayer because we're not believing that God is kind at that time. I know God's going to answer my prayers. I know God's going to be faithful to His promises. I know God's going to do as He has said. I know that God will order my steps. Why? Because He's kind. I know that I can't blow it with Him. Why? Because He's kind. He's not vindictive. He's not angry. He's not malicious. He's not petty. He's not some kind of a grudge-holding God. God is kind. God has a sense of humor in His kindness also. He knows how to laugh things off. He is very kind. There's a great deal of joy in the kindness of God. There's a great deal of rest in the kindness of God. You see, when the kindness of God appeared in verse 5, it wasn't by the works of righteousness that we've done, but according to the mercy of God. That's how He saved us. According to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope there is not a wishful thought. Hope there is confident expectation. Why? Because He's kind. Do we deserve it? No. How many people, after they fail in some way, expect God to somehow beat them up a little? Yell at them. Spank them a bit. But you know, if that's my expectation, then I really don't need Him to. Because my conviction regarding my mistake has gone beyond the character of God. If that's my expectation, He won't beat me up. He'll love me up. Because He is intensely kind. God doesn't look for things to nitpick. He doesn't look for opportunities to have it out with me. He doesn't look for criticisms, things He can criticize about me. Can you imagine God? Okay, Mike, let me show you all the things you're doing wrong. You're like this and you're like that. No. God says He loves as you are. And He accepts you as you are. He doesn't ask for change. You know what God does? He doesn't ask for it. He produces it. How does He produce it? The goodness of God in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. God produces change through His kindness. How many people do you see, like in relationships, close relationships, whether they're in family or friendships or spouses, how many people do you see say, hey, I have to tell you all the things that are wrong with you so you won't do them or so you'll change? Well, that's really going to do the trick. Focus on the mistakes to get out of the mistakes. Focus on the shortcomings to get out of the shortcomings. Usually you know what that is. That's flesh trying to correct something. Doesn't work that way. God doesn't point out my mistakes. God transforms me with His loving kindness. Be willing to accept the loving kindness, but don't hold on to it. If you hold on to it, you won't experience it. Receive God's loving kindness and pour it out. And then you'll receive more. And pour it out. And then you'll receive more. And pour it out. But never just hold on to it. You know how you reciprocate with God? You pass it on. God shows you loving kindness. You pass it on. It is possible for us to say, God's kind, I'm going to keep it for myself. That's a bad thing to do. Because if I do that, then I will never actually experience the kindness that I'm trying to hold. When you receive kindness, pour it out. Pour it on other people. Because if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You want to reciprocate God's love to God? Pour it on to the least of these. And you pour it on to Him. God is amazingly kind. He is amazingly kind. The Word of God says in Romans 5:8 that God commendeth His love. What does that mean? God had established and displayed its excellence toward us. God displayed the excellence of His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in the midst of absolutely unworthy, God manifested the greatest expression of His kindness. This is why the Word of God says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, part of that is where I fail, God meets me with loving kindness. He does not meet me with anything other than that. He meets me with loving kindness. He restores me with loving kindness. He turns my heart with loving kindness. He approaches me with loving kindness. Because He's kind. Why did He meet Peter the way that He did? Because He was kind. Peter betrays Him, turns his back on Him. He doesn't betray Him, excuse me. Peter turns his back on Him. He goes fishing, denies knowing Him. Goes back to his old lifestyle. And Jesus meets him where He met him the first time. And what does He say to him? He recommissions him. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Shouldn't he had some sort of a probationary period? I mean, after all, Peter, you denied who I am. I got to make sure you don't do this again. What kind of a testimony are you going to be, Peter, denying me every opportunity you get? No. You see, God was confident in the effects of the manifestation of His love. God was confident in the effect that His kindness would have in somebody's life. God is profoundly confident in the effect that kindness has in your life. And so you don't have to be afraid of Him. You just run to Him. Because you will be changed by the kindness of God. There's people, I've run into some soul winning. I remember one guy, he didn't want to get saved because he'd have to give up fornication. What a way to go to hell. He didn't know that the kindness of God was better than his lust. He didn't realize that the kindness of God was sweeter. He didn't realize that satisfaction of a craving was not equal to the love of God. God is kind. He just is. He's just kind. Why would God be kind toward me? I can't answer why, except to say that's who He is. Because it's not in your merit, but in His character. He is kind. Never forget that first and foremost, God is patient and He is kind. He says in Hosea in chapter 2, and this is how He thinks of us. In verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. How do I get to know Him? I get to know His kindness. That's how you get to know God. You get to know His kindness. It's His kindness that draws you. It's His kindness that comes through for you. It's His kindness that sustains you. It's His kindness that upholds you in all things. It's His kindness that went to battle for Israel. And it's His kindness that goes to battle for you. God's kindness hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He has not changed the fact that He fought on behalf of Moses when Korah and his rebellion were starting against him. He didn't have to do it that way, but He did. He could have let Moses try to slug it out on his own, but He didn't. Instead, it was very simple. Moses turned to God, and God came through for Moses. Why? Because God is kind. It wasn't anything in Moses himself. Moses was a murderer and a coward at the beginning of his life. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses was not a man of terrific character, and he didn't even know God. But God was kind to him. Moses didn't get saved until he was out in the wilderness. He was a nationalistic, idealistic young guy who really didn't have much going on except for the fact that he lucked into being Pharaoh's adopted grandson. But he didn't have any of the character of what he would need. And so he ends up in the wilderness, and in the wilderness God teaches him humility and meekness. And God teaches him all the things he's going to need. After he murders a man, God brings him to the place that he would need to know like the back of his hand in order to lead the nation for 40 years in that very same wilderness. God was incredibly kind. That's how Moses knew where to go. Yeah, there was the cloud and the pillar, but how did he survive? Where did he find water? How did he take care of things? Where was the food? Well, 40 years in that area kind of gave him a little bit of experience there. God was kind. 40 years shepherding sheep. 40 years looking for food, looking for water, knowing every hill. And then God's sheep were out there just a few years later. God was taking care of him. God was taking care of all of Israel. God was taking care of us. Because God was kind. See, the expression of God to the one man changed the life of every man. God was kind. He still is. You find yourself in a spot, know this, that in the place where you are, God is kind to you. And even if the place looks difficult, don't be afraid of it, because God is kind and He'll come through for you. But won't He be kind to the one who is opposing me? Yes, but He'll still defeat him. God would have been very kind to the giants in the land if the giants in the land came to Him. But because the giants in the land opposed the people of God, they were opposing the least of these. They were opposing Him. See, that's an amazingly kind thing that the Savior said, that if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Because we are the least of these. And God is kind. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn thee. That kindness of God is what draws people to Him. Again I will build thee. Do you understand this? He's talking to not people who had it all together. He was talking to people who were a train wreck. People who had left Him. People who turned their backs on Him. People who denied Him. People who went after other gods. He said, I loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you. And then He continued and He said, again I will build you. I built you before, and I'm going to do this again. And you shall be built, O virgin Israel. What a thing to call Israel. Later on in the same chapter, you find that she was whoring after those other gods. But God was kind to her. And He knew that He was going to take away their iniquities and their failures and all the mistakes they made. He knew His kindness toward them. And so despite where they were at the moment, He knew He would make them a virgin again. Because God was kind. You shall be again adorned with your tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. You shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. Now understand something. This was Jeremiah talking to Israel on behalf of God. Jeremiah went into captivity in Babylon. As God was about to discipline Israel quite harshly, He expressed to them profound kindness, that despite the fact that they were going to be disciplined, they would return. And it would not be their end. It would simply be their turning. It would simply be the initiation of the process with which God built them again so they could be a people unto Him. You see, as God was preparing to send them into captivity, He did it with extraordinary kindness. If God didn't send them into captivity, where would Israel be? It wouldn't be His people. If God didn't send them into captivity, where would the Savior have come? If God didn't send them into captivity, where would we be, the believers? You see, God was kind. And even though what was coming wasn't easy, it was kind. And though they may not have understood what it was kind. Why? Because it came from God. And God is profoundly kind. Amen?